Now, as the heat wave gripping the Mediterranean continues, some
more than 100 people, 120 people have died, and hundreds more are still missing.
These temperatures have been at or above 110 degrees for 27
New threats
days.
From intense and deadly storms ripping through the middle of the country, killing at
more
least
more than 180 people have been killed due to record amounts of rain. Most
right now, the temperature is about 15 degrees above the average temperature for
winter. Another 122,000 people have been displaced.
But scientists say the extreme weather is happening more often because of human-caused climate change.
But the ultimate driving factor is human-induced climate change that causes the weather patterns that we see today.
Welcome to Heat Beyond 1.5. Your podcast exploring the pressing challenges of the climate crisis and the innovative solutions driving our response. We dive into how technology, entrepreneurship, and resilient strategies are helping us adapt to a rapidly changing world. Join us as we uncover the tools and ideas shaping our future in the face of climate uncertainty with your hosts, Nicholas Samios, Managing Partner at PT1, and David Vaudman, Managing Director at DWR Eco.
Nico, how are you?
Quite good, I'd say. So,
it's a hot day. What do you think about the current climate situation?
Well, on the one hand side, you can say it's great weather, in Europe. On the other hand, if we just look at what's happening, and I think what just happened over the last 2-3 weeks, we saw already a lot of extreme climate events that, if you sum it up, clearly point into the direction that potentially something's getting out of control.
I think we both know, but a lot of our listeners also know, that the climate catastrophe is real. We are hinting already on some of these climate events. Still, it's not really clear for everybody where we are exactly. We have named our podcast here Beyond 1.5. What is the big idea behind that?
Yeah. So I think, obviously, or I hope so, everybody knows about the 1.5 degree climate target, basically going back to the Paris Climate Accord. So what is the idea? A lot of international nations came together to say, we really have to do our best to limit the mean temperature warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, right? Situation now, unfortunately, is that if you look at a lot of data that came up this year, we already reached 1.5. And also, if you look at the trend lines, it doesn't really look like we will stop at 2 degrees. So that's a problem. But it means global average. Water is heating slower than the land mass. So on land mass, it's like 2 to 3 degrees. And in a city, because of the heat dome effects you have in every city, it's like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees potentially plus, right? Look at the hurricane season in like Middle America, the Caribbean Sea, right? It's starting like a month before schedule, for example, right? Look at official numbers, like I think 900 people dying at the hatch, so official numbers, unofficial numbers will easily be higher, right? And this potentially is just the beginning of more extreme events for the next decades to come.
So that's the new reality. And both of us, I mean, we have been working this field for a number of years already. And I remember back 20 years ago, more or less, when I started to work around these topics, energy transition, trying to mitigate the climate risk, etc., we always had these objectives in mind, this 1.5 or 1.5 Celsius degree objective. We are already beyond this point right now, but it's still necessary to fight for every tenth of a degree, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. So there's no, absolutely not the idea is to now say, we lost that battle, forget it, right? Because the situation will really get worse if we don't, let's say, break climate change. But at the same time, the harsh reality that I personally think we are not talking about enough is that there is a new normal, there is a new system, and we need to adapt, we need to become more resilient.
Right.
without stopping the mitigation, of course, right?
Yes. So basically, we need to differentiate between climate mitigation, which is basically risk mitigation, but also we need to introduce a lot more discussions around climate adaptation. So now, both of our organizations, PT1, you are an investor in infrastructure technologies, maybe, but our organization, DWR Eco, we are a climate tech consultancy. So we both have put our heads together and we actually published a white paper with the title Technologies for a Climate Resilient Future. So what did we actually cover in this paper?
So if we assume that the world is heating, yeah, with all the effects we already talked about. We need to consider, let's say, investing, upgrading existing infrastructures, urban areas. There's also a big part of, let's say, non-urban agriculture-oriented stuff that we're covering to a lesser extent because we're a technology investor. But humanity, yeah, to use a big term, should realize that the only thing that's more expensive than investing in adaptation and resilience is not investing in adaptation and resilience. And the question is now, when will governments, but also, of course, the private industry realize that, right? And hopefully, talking about it, yeah, making a podcast, publishing a white paper, et cetera, helps that people understand that thinking about this new reality is a necessity. And if you, for example, as a business leader, are anticipating the change, you can make your system more resilient. If you're an investor, there's also even an upside, right? Because you can invest in new emerging technologies that mm-hmm. will be needed. And especially now we're sitting in Berlin, so let's say like the middle or the heart of tech Europe, if you want to say so. Especially European technology startups or the European ecosystem with the long positive history in like climate change oriented energy efficiency regulation and so on and so forth. This also could be a new export industry, right? Mm-hmm. So there's also a good reason to think about it. It's not just the alarmist part of, oh my God, mm-hmm. right? We're going, everything's going down. There is a positive note about it. This is also a necessity. If we want to create impact, we must activate lots of capital, right? Activating lots of capital is always difficult. If it's just if you just need to talk about like intrinsic motivation of people, you will get some, right?
So what is the need of capital? I mean, we have tried to pin down a number, right?
Yeah. So you know that the last couple of years, a lot of investments went into, let's say, clean and green technologies, right? As a headline topic. The vast majority was going into CO2 emission reduction, so the mitigation part, right? The part of adapting to the new reality just got a fragment of money, maybe 4%, maybe 5% of the total 100%. For the investors that are brave enough to mm-hmm. now invest ahead of like the mainstream curve, potentially they can make very good deals.
Mm-hmm. So you just hinted already that we are going to do this podcast series now on top of the white paper, which, by the way, can be still be downloaded on the both on the web pages of PT1 and DW Eco, both in German and English. So please do that. But what is our plan now in this, the upcoming episodes of this podcast series?
I think it would be a good idea, if you agree, that we get some outside experts so that it's not just mm-hmm. us two talking about the topic, that both really give us guidance how the world is changing.
Right.
Because we need to have a data-driven view on that. And on the other hand, look at interesting founder teams from Europe that have solutions that might help, to upgrade kind of our societies, our infrastructure to a more resilient state. And the good news is that, as we listed some of them in the white paper, there is a growing ecosystem.
So why don't we do this, Nico, that maybe the next couple of weeks and months, I go out there and really try to find the experts who help us to get our head around the problem. So what are the issues? What are the consequences we are facing? And what are the scenarios? And maybe you go out and try to find those who are already working on those solutions. And maybe then after each episode, we come together and discuss both the challenges and the solutions. And maybe step by step, we come to a set of conclusions.
That sounds like a brilliant plan. Let's do that.
Why don't we do that? I like that a lot. So I think we can cluster this probably around a few basic topics. So we can, first of all, of course, talk about why do we actually need to talk about climate adaptation. We did a little bit already here, but I think it's good to have a deep dive with some scientists around that. Then secondly, we can also talk about what is really the definition and what sets those two terms apart. So mitigation versus adaptation. And then I think we could do a little deep dive into those technologies who deal more around the water topics. And another episode is probably really talking about next generation of infrastructure technologies. That's something where you are very good at with PT1 already. You have gained a lot of experience around that. And then, of course, we could talk about how to insure actually those global damages, because there's a lot of industries around financing, insuring all of that. And maybe lastly, we can lead into a discussion, how do we actually need and what kind of finances do we need to enable next generation technologies?
And maybe if I can add, it all starts with data collection and analyzing that data, right?
Because right. You're
need,
right. Correct.
We need that as the starting point, as the starting ground.
Absolutely.
Because only if you have proper digital data on your scenarios, you can calculate if it's worth or not investing in these different technologies.
I like that idea. So let's do that. And I think all of you guys out there, you should watch out for the next upcoming episodes. You can also send us some ideas, obviously, who to talk to, what topics you're very much interested into. But we will do our own research as well, obviously, and do everything based on the white paper, which we have published already. I think it's a great plan, Nico. Let's do that. I will be very surprised, and I'm very interested of what additional information we get out of the market here. I mean, you have been seeing this VC market already for the last couple of decades probably already. And we have seen a lot of themes out there. We have seen fintech. We have seen educational tech. Yourself, you have been and still are involved in prop tech, property tech. I myself have been, like you have as well, right? We have been involved in climate tech. Sometimes we have called it green tech in the past, clean tech. Do we need something like adaptation tech, maybe? So an own category addressing technologies, investment cases, adapting to the climate crisis?
I think yes, but of course, your question already hints at that there are, for example, insure tech companies that you can look at. Let's say just using new tools, data sets, et cetera, to insure flood risks, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you could file it under InsurTech, right? But I think the headline adaptation tech and talking about that is important, because still currently, for different set of reasons we can discuss in the future, I think the topic is getting too little attention in the market for its vast, not just commercial, but also like,
societal
value, exactly. And there's also, it's also potentially, let's say, a triple return vertical, right? It's not just commercially interesting. It has a clear E, it has a clear S, a social aspect,
so environmental,
right?
Social.
Exactly. Because who's vulnerable, right? So if we, like I hinted at, for example, what happened in Switzerland, yeah, over the last couple of weeks, right? Switzerland is definitely not the most vulnerable place on planet Earth, right? If you look at what's happening in Pakistan, for example, every year, right? What's happening in India, other countries where you have such an immense heat that because of the wet bulb effect, people literally just die on the street and they can't take shelter in an air-conditioned house because there is none, right? So therefore it has a deep social element also to the topic. And again, coming back, yes, I think a lot of these solutions we'll look at will be filed under construction tech, prop tech, clean tech, energy efficiency whatsoever, transportation related stuff, we'll see, I guess, etc. But yes, I think it makes sense to have that additional headline, that additional hashtag, because this potentially really needs more attention.
And I think another indication of why this maybe probably needs to have its own category is that the regulator is actually starting to address this topic as well. Recently, Germany has just adopted a Climate Adaptation Act. We have seen some of these Climate Adaptation Acts around the world as well, and we probably will see a lot more. And what are these acts are basically talking about? They really try to incentivize, money, but also infrastructure and behavioral change as well to adapt to climate. So we will see probably a lot more cases coming up. Recently, actually, I was in Passau, one of these southern German cities, and I happened to be there right after a big flood has happened a couple of weeks ago. And so I was there even, you know, helping a little bit on the ground. But which was very noticeable for me is that if we talk about adaptation technologies, it's not just high tech, but it can be also be low tech. We put some of these, steel walls on houses, etc. Do you have a feeling already now how much low and how much high tech this sector will contain?
So as we try to distill it out a little bit in the white paper, we assume that the big number, this trillion per year, right, that includes everything that you just said, right? So like physical barriers in that case, yeah, physical upgrades of existing infrastructure, or think about railway systems that are really under climate stress now, right? And trains can't go at full speed because the steel will bend, yeah, under the load. So therefore, this is the vast amount. But as we said, there is a, let's say, out of that 1 trillion, you have whatever, 50 billion ballpark that really goes into high tech stuff that is either driven by, let's say, digitization, AI, material science innovations, or the like. And that's the beginning, right? And this will then be scaled up. So therefore, yes, there is a lot of low tech stuff, but there's also a lot of like natural stuff, right, that needs to happen. So and we're not talking about that tech will save the day, right? It's a combination of different tools and things. But as there is an existing venture capital market, as there is existing capital allocators looking at what's the next big thing in private equity in venture, I think therefore it makes sense to point out that potentially investing a good part, or at least a part of your money into that new sector is especially beneficial, right? Do we, or in other words, do we really need the next gorilla or something, yeah, to be financed with a billion plus, right? How interesting is that from all different dimensions, right? Will it really help us to reduce risks of the future, right? Reduce ESG problems? Will it be commercially sustainable, right? You can argue about that. So I think it's an obvious thing to look into.
Right.
And so therefore, I think it deserves a headline itself.
But you know why I'm so excited about our project here is because it's really like a journey. We can really learn a lot more from all these great experts and also solution providers out there. And then at the end, we probably will have very good discussions around what do we need to do as a next step to put all of these solutions in place. But always having in mind, obviously, that we don't need to forget about climate mitigation. So we still need to work, of course, on every single ton of CO2 to reduce those. But of course, our journey here is all about climate adaptation, about technologies, about how big actually is the issue. So I'm very excited to meet, more or less virtually or on this podcast format every single month with you for the next couple of months. And I think both of us, we can just invite everybody to listen in, to stay tuned, just to enjoy this journey together with us.
Will be my pleasure.
See you next month.
Thank you for tuning in to Heat Beyond 1.5. We hope you'll join us again next time. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and share the podcast to help us spread the word. This podcast is produced by PT1 and DWR Eco. For more information, visit www.heat.bc.